From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we take in your questions from around the world. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Art, listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Art.
Hey, Hank. I really appreciate you taking this call here. I am diagnosed with a mental health disorder, psychotic disorder. It could be schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorder. And my primary delusion that comes up for me is I just feel like I get these feelings like I'm not saved. And I wonder if, like, I've been prescribed antipsychotics and now I'm changing pills to another one. I'm just wondering, like, there's a lot of stuff on the internet about how, you know, if you're trusting in pills for the peace of your soul, you're going to the wrong place because you're not resting in God. I don't know, like, is the fact that I need pills to try to help me feel like I'm saved, is that a sign that I might not be, you know, or like, what do you think about that?
Well, I think the first thing is that we have to use common sense, which is to say that if I have an ailment, I want to make sure that I have a prescription that is proper in terms of alleviating the particular ailment that I have. And that's true, whether it's physical or metaphysical. And oftentimes we have people who are prescribing the wrong things for the wrong people. I talked about this with respect to transgenderism, where there was a man who was talking about how he felt that he might be a woman trapped in a man's body. And when he went to the psychiatrist said, yeah, of course, that's the problem. Let's start hormone treatment. And then he bemoans the impact of what happened to him as a result of that. Because later on, he recognized that that was a wrong diagnosis. But now that he wants to be a man again, the treatments that he has received don't allow him to ever father a family. So there are consequences if we don't get proper diagnosis. And there's a worldview that permeates many institutions today that we ought to look at very, very carefully. So that's maybe just in terms of a general principle. However, as far as your own trust in the Lord is concerned, this is directly relationed to how you view the scriptures, how you view the Word of God, how you view the church, the body of Christ that He has ordained us to be a priesthood of all believers within. So if you are baptized, in other words, you have been buried to your old life, raised to newness of life through His resurrection power, you've been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you're taking up your cross and following Him within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church, then many of those disillusionments that you feel in terms of your relationship with the Lord will start to fade as your enhancement of time with the Lord increases, is enhanced, is perpetuated within the context of the body of Christ. So I think it's really important that you do not miss a proper diagnosis from a medical standpoint, but just as proper that you do not misdiagnose what is needed from a spiritual standpoint. For example, if you feel that you are a rugged individualist and you can go this road alone, well, then you're missing the biblical worldview that says we must have an active faith within the context of the body of Christ, whereby we partake of the graces that allow us to live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, and allow us to feel a connection with God, because those very graces are meant to bring you into the life of the Trinity. So just as enhanced time with human beings enhances relationship with those human beings, the same thing is true with our Lord.
Okay, thank you. And is it proven that schizoaffective is a real disorder, or is it possible that it's a spiritual thing that we just don't?
Well, there are real disorders that you can have from both a physical standpoint and a metaphysical standpoint. And if you had cancer and I said, you know, don't worry about that, I just make sure you go to church enough, I would be not doing you a service. And the same thing is true if you have a metaphysical ailment. But I cannot diagnose you over the air. I don't have the wisdom or the capacity to do that. So again, the real issue is, are you getting good medical treatment? And is this a diagnosis that is appropriate? I wouldn't rely on just one person in this case.
Yeah. Okay. Well, appreciate your thoughts, Hank.
Hey, you got it, Art. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Mark in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay. Got a question for you. First off, I want to say thanks for taking my call, and I love your program. I'm always listening, even if I'm driving back and forth to work.
Oh, thank you.
But my question is, you know, Jews or people that follow Judaism or, you know, from Hebrew Israelites to a ton of people that follow, you know, Judaism in whatever form or fashion. I mean, I know what the Bible says when it speaks about, you know, Jesus is the only way. And salvation is for everyone. I believe that with all my heart, and I'm a Christian. But when I run into people that's Jewish that don't believe in Jesus Christ, or they believe in him as a person but not as God in flesh as a Christian does, or a Hebrew Israelite or whatever, they believe that they're a chosen sect of people that God made a covenant with, and they're good based on that. So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's misguided, to say the least. God never chooses people based on their ethnicity or their genealogy. If that were the case, he would not have chosen Rahab. He would not have chosen Ruth. He would not even have chosen Abraham, who certainly wasn't a Jew. So the notion in Scripture is always that you are a friend of God, and as a result of being a friend of God, you're brought into all of those types and shadows that point forward ultimately to a coming Messiah, which we now look back to. Christ has come. But unfortunately, there are people, even in the Christian community, I think of John Hagee, who says if Jesus refused by his words or actions to claim to be Messiah to the Jews, then how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered to them? So he goes on to say that the Jewish people wanted Jesus to be their Messiah, but Jesus absolutely refused to be their Messiah. So in his view, the Jews were not rejecting Jesus as Messiah. It was Jesus who was refusing to be Messiah to the Jews. And so the whole idea here is that there's a covenant for the Jews that is altogether separate from a covenant for other people, but it's misguided on the very basis that I just mentioned. Nowhere in Scripture do we have this notion that God has two distinct people with two distinct plans. Instead, we see that the Old Covenant and the New Covenant are qualitatively the same. The reason that the new covenant is better, Hebrews explains, is because the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. So the whole notion, again, that this is tied to your ethnicity is simply wrongheaded. If you are in Christ, says Paul, you're the seed of Abraham and you're an heir according to the promise. I love to quote Esther. You know, this is one of those great stories where Esther is being raised up by God to sovereignly save the Jews from certain destruction under Haman. And as the people of the various nations were looking on, they were amazed at God's sovereign power. And then the text tells us, on that day, many different people from different nations became Jews. Well, they didn't do that by changing their ethnicity, their birth mother, their genealogy. They did that because they believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and therefore they were brought into all the types and shadows pointing for to Jesus Christ. So there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. So if you take seriously, I was just reciting this afternoon with our staff, the Nicene Creed. If you take that seriously, you recognize that it was Jesus who ascended into heaven. It is Jesus who is seated at the right hand of the Father. It is Jesus who will come again to judge the living and the dead. It is Jesus whose kingdom will have no end. So we are trusting in Jesus Christ because Jesus demonstrated that he is, in fact, God in human flesh. We're coming to station break. We'll be right back at the end of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember the Christian Research Journal? Check it out on the web, equip.org. Be right back.
The miraculous resurrection of Jesus did more than reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being. Yet many believers are ill-equipped to provide persuasive, credible answers to unbelievers who consider the central event of Christianity nothing more than mythological nonsense. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, lays out the solid, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology that demonstrates the fact of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Receive The Week That Changed the World as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a few moments. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened? In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Renee next. She's listening in Delaware, Pennsylvania. Hi, Renee.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question in regards to the flat earth that some are believing. I have a prayer partner, prayed with for many years over the phone, and I always just believed that the world was round, never given any thought, and just suddenly last week she just presented this to me, and certainly she's, her or anybody else is okay to believe that the earth is flat, but it's everything else that's behind it, the government and the dome over the earth, and it's just really taking me by surprise, all of this information, and I just don't know how to connect with her anymore, especially since we're praying together.
Yeah, I mean, she's unfortunately buying into the ultimate conspiracy theory. This is propaganda, pure and simple. One of the things that we ought to recognize is that Ferdinand Magellan empirically proved that the Earth was round. This was back in the 16th century. So the whole idea of a flat Earth has been demonstrated to be false. It's propaganda. Unanimous scholarly opinion from Augustine to Aquinas pronounced the Earth spherical. This is something that has been not only demonstrated from the scientific perspective, but also from the perspective of a biblical worldview. The only way that you can make the earth flat is to ignore everything that we know about astronomy, everything that we know about science and mathematics, and then everything we know about the Bible. Which is to say, the Bible really does not harp on this, but a lot of people take texts and they read them in a wooden, literal sense, as opposed to the sense in which they're intended, particularly with respect to some of the words of Isaiah. And as a result of that, they end up believing in flat earth mythology. But there are very, very few people in that category today. There may have been some people that believed this in the secular community, but in the Christian community, we certainly knew better. What's interesting is there was a history of the warfare of science and theology in Christendom, which was a book written by Andrew Dixon White. He's the founder of Cornell University. And he decried this regrettable reality that 200 years after what I mentioned earlier, after Magellan had proven that the earth was round, Christian fundamentalists persisted in perpetuating flat earth mythology. But again, it doesn't correspond to reality. It's propaganda. It's mythology. No Christian believes that. It is simply outrageous to suggest that a Christian would believe that. And if someone says they are a Christian, I think it's incumbent upon them not to buy into conspiracy theories.
Yes, yes. And my issue is that it's just that I can't pray with her anymore because I feel like we're two in two different places and we're not on one accord anymore. So I was just been doing some praying about this.
Well, pray for her. You know, don't shun her. Pray for her. She's trapped in a conspiracy theory.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your answer.
You got it. Just before I came to the studio, I was signing or personalizing books to CRI support team members. So we're asking people to join CRI's monthly support team as the Lord leads you in terms of the amount, but please stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Annette in Johns Creek, Georgia. Hi, Annette.
Hi there. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I have a question. Speaking of conspiracy theories, I've been having some theological debates with my brother. He holds to something called the serpent seed doctrine. I'm sure you're familiar with it, but you know, and we were talking about Genesis 6 with the Nephilim, and he, you know, and I remember hearing you say in a past broadcast that spirit the spirit world cannot procreate with humans. And so, but he's got all of this information from a gentleman, Steve Quayle, who is kind of really into this stuff. So I'm trying to find out a way that I can show him in the scriptures that they're not talking about, you know, that Satan did not have, I guess I'm confusing the two. I'm talking about the flood, and then I'm talking about the serpent seed theology.
Well, actually, you're not confusing the two, because they're inextricably woven together in the minds of some. We did an article in the Christian Research Journal, probably up on the web by now. I also wrote about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition Revised and Updated, but you mentioned correctly that there's no way a non-physical being can have sex with a physical being. Simply can't happen. This is imposing mythology on theology. And if you look at the Genesis passage, Genesis chapter 6, the judgment of the flood was a judgment on fallen humanity. There's nothing in that text that would lead you to think that this was a judgment on hybrids. And remember, kinds only reproduce after their own kinds. So there's no way in which one kind can reproduce another kind. A lizard cannot produce a bird, nor a bird a lizard. So there's everything in scripture and science to militate against this idea, nothing to underscore it as being valid. Unfortunately, there are sensationalists and sophists, people doing sloppy journalism in the age of the internet, that's pretty easy to do, who are purporting the serpent seed doctrine, and you know they're developing all kinds of conclusions on the basis of it. For example, there's a guy named Arnold Murray in the Shepherd's Chapel who teaches that doctrine and says, well, Eve had sex with a snake and as a result bore Cain. And that's where you get the Kenites. And all of this is complete ad hoc mythology imposed on the scriptures as opposed to reading the scriptures in the sense in which they're intended.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to know that what I'm reading is what I'm reading. But so what are the Nephilim then? Does anyone know? Do we know?
Well, they're actually described. If you go back to Genesis chapter 6, they're very clearly described there. In fact, you will find them appear later on in the Bible as well. But in Genesis chapter 6, you have the Nephilim on the earth in those days, in the days where God is judging wicked humanity with the flood. And then it says they were also on the earth afterward when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children with them. They were heroes of old, men of renown. So the scripture describes who the Nephilim were in that sense. We don't know a lot more about them, but again, they're described as heroes of old, men of renown, but not as hybrids.
Right. It doesn't make any sense because Cain, you know, it says clearly in scripture that Adam, you know, knew his wife and begot Cain. So how you know, it doesn't make any sense, but somehow they find, like you said, say sensationalism. They just can find something to say the way they want it to. So,
yeah, check the web for that article, or else hang on, we can send it out to you.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you so much. God bless you, Hank.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Lance. Lance is listening in Garland, Texas on the web. Hi, Lance.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My question is about Mark 16, 9 through 20. Do you think that should be in our Bible? And also, how do you think the oldest reliable manuscripts are for the New Testament?
Well, I think this is a very, very good question. And, you know, it is a question that's often debated. And what you have most Bible translators do is include the long ending to the Gospel of Mark, but then bracket those verses, or else put a footnote there that indicates that they're not in Codex Sinaiticus or Codex Vaticanus, although nearly all other manuscripts of Mark contain them. So they're saying the more old or reliable manuscripts do not contain this. However, this can be harmonized with the rest of Scripture. And that's really what you have to do if you read the Synoptic Gospels in John. You harmonize them. There's a historical core to them. And if you read all the Gospels, you get the essence of the historical core. Again, however, as noted by textual critics, the oldest, most reliable manuscripts do not contain those particular verses. I read them along with the rest of the Bible, and I feel that it is not difficult to harmonize the long ending of Mark with the rest of Scripture, and so this has been my practice. I would memorize these verses just as I memorized other verses. However, having said that, there are lots of examples, some very dominant, like the comma Johannium in 1 John chapter 5, that is clearly in concert with the rest of Scripture, but you don't find it in the manuscript evidence itself. So it is a scribal gloss that is added to the text, again, in complete harmony with the rest of Scripture, but not part of the original text itself. I've written about this in a lot of detail in my book, Has God Spoken? Thanks for tuning in. We'll look forward to seeing you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.